Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. Today I want to talk to you about how to slay Goliath. Do you have a Goliath in your life today? Every person at some point in life faces a Goliath. It is a situation in which it appears to be impossible to come out the victor. In fact, it may very well look like Goliath is going to take you out. We know that the story of David and Goliath give us an amazing picture of impossible odds. We have Goliath, who is nearly 10 feet tall, completely covered with bronze armor, carrying a spear and a sword and a javelin. He had been a warrior since his youth, facing a very unlikely opponent, a teenage shepherd boy named David, who was armed with a slingshot and 5 smooth stones from the brook. We know that the odds makers of today wouldn't have given David a chance. They would have said he'd be taken out in the first round. But the reality was that David was the one who came out the winner. And this victory was not to be his only conquest. David went on to win every single military battle he ever entered. What was his secret? We're going to examine the story found in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and find 4 keys to slaying Goliath. 4 keys that will help you slay the Goliath in your life and help you to come out the victor. Get your pen and paper out and write these down. I know that they will bless you and help you and equip you to come out victorious against any Goliath you may be facing at this moment in your life. Read with me from 1 Samuel chapter 17. We'll start out with verse 3. It says, "The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, while Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistine named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was clothed with scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. He also had bronze greaves on his legs, and a bronze javelin slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. His shield carrier also walked before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, 'Why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine, and you, servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us.' Again the Philistine said, 'I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.' When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." Now let's cut over to verse 32, where David enters Saul's presence and wants to go out against Goliath. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Then Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went out after him, and I attacked him, and I rescued it from his mouth. And when he arose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Then Saul clothed David with his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with armor. David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. So David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." And David took them off. He took his stick in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag which he had, even in his pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Then the Philistine came on and approached David with the shield-bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy with a handsome appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I'll give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it you into our hands." Then it happened, when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead, so that he fell on his face to the ground. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand. This amazing story is definitely the picture of impossible odds. You may be facing a Goliath that looks impossible to beat, impossible to have the victory over, impossible to conquer. That's exactly what David was facing. He was a young man, a teenager, a shepherd boy. He had killed a lion and a bear, but he'd never been in any military action, whereas Goliath had been a warrior since he was a youth. The odds looked impossible. David was an average of height, whereas Goliath was almost 10 feet tall. He was also well-armed and completely covered with bronze armor. That's a key and an important issue that we'll see. But if we examine the scriptures closely, we can discover David's secret of success against Goliath, as well as other enemies that he eventually faced. The first thing that you will observe is that David properly identified the enemy. That was the very first key. In 1 Samuel 17:36, we see that David recognized that the enemy had taunted the armies of the living God. David realized that the enemy was standing against God. There was a spiritual component here. It was not just one army from one nation against an army from another nation. That was not the issue. David properly identified the spiritual component of the battle. And because he recognized that and identified that, he was certain that God would give him the victory if he stepped out in faith and faced Goliath in the strength of the Lord. Understand this parallel for your life. In your personal battle, you must properly identify the enemy. Many people misidentify the enemy, and therefore they're fighting a battle that is not the true battle. They may misidentify the enemy as being their unreasonable boss, their husband, their wife, their unscrupulous business partner, or some other human opponent. They may see circumstances such as the death of a loved one or a financial reversal as the great enemy of their life. But the truth is very plain in Scripture. Satan is your adversary. And until you recognize that reality and find God's weapon for your battle, you will be on the losing side. 1 Peter 5:8 makes it very plain when it warns us, "Be of a sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." There are many Christians who don't want to even say the name of the devil or Satan because they are fearful that if they give him any credit, as they will put it, then he will be able to have an advantage over them. No, he will get an advantage over you if you are not wise to his devices. That's what the Apostle Paul said, that we are not ignorant of his devices. But you are ignorant of his devices if you refuse to say his name, refuse to acknowledge him, refuse to even think about what part Satan may be playing in your circumstances. That is ignorance of the reality of what's going on in your particular circumstance. Don't be afraid of Satan. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. That's a direct reference to the fact that greater is the power of God and the Holy Spirit, which has taken up residence in you if you are a born-again Christian. Much greater is that than he who's in the world, referring to Satan himself. We have more power as believers filled with God than Satan does. However, if he can deceive you and make you believe you shouldn't pay him any attention, he will get the victory over you. Properly identifying the enemy was David's first key, and properly identifying the enemy in your personal battle is your first key. Recognize the enemy is not your wife or your husband or any other human being. Satan may be trying to get to you through a human being or influence some other human being in some way to put pressure on you, but that person is not your enemy. You have a much more devious foe. Understand, Satan, your adversary, is just as interested in destroying the person he's using to trouble you as he is in destroying you and your life. Jesus told us the same thing in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and to destroy. We must recognize the enemy properly, and then from that point we can say, "Lord, what are the weapons we must use in this battle?" Get your focus off the human being that's being used to bring trouble into your life. And don't do your battle there. As long as you keep focusing on the person as the source of your problem, you will never win your battle. Do your battle against the enemy of your soul, not the human being he is using to harass you. And also realize that person is a victim also, regardless of how cruel or harsh they may seem. They are a victim of Satan's devices as well, and are bound if they are being used by him. A second key to victory that David discovered was to inquire of the Lord for his way of dealing with the situation. The main reason that David never lost a military battle was because, as we see in many places in Scripture, it will say he inquired of the Lord. Over and over again, when he'd hear this enemy armies coming against him, we'll see, "And David inquired of the Lord." You can look it up for yourself in 1 Samuel 23, verse 2, 1 Samuel 30, verse 8, and 2 Samuel 5:23, this pattern in David's life. And because of this pattern he developed, which was the wisdom of God given to him to ask God what to do with this natural opponent that was coming against him, he always had victory. And here's the thing, though, for your personal life. When you inquire of the Lord for his way of dealing with your situation, You have to understand that sometimes God's methods that He is going to recommend to you in His Word will seem like they will never win the battle. Think about it. Did a slingshot and a smooth stone look like the weapon of choice to beat Goliath? Certainly not. But they were God's method given to David, and David was willing to trust God that God's method would bring the victory, even if it looked like it was no match for the battle. In your situation, whatever God's word says that you are to do, it may look like it's no match for the battle. In fact, it may even appear that if you do things God's way, that you will end up defeated for sure. It may look like you'll end up the loser when being truthful or honest, for instance, in a situation which would certainly be God's method, looks like it will bring you harm. Guaranteed, you will be tempted to take matters into your own hands, cast aside God's method, which would be truth and honesty, and lie and be deceptive or cheat on your taxes or whatever it may be. And yet the reality is you will guaranteed you will lose that battle, not win it with those methods. We can't use man's methods and expect to win. David used God's method, the sling and the stone. Man's method, Saul's recommendation to him was, use my armor, put on my bronze helmet, take my sword. That was man's method. God's method, the slingshot and a stone. God's method and His way of doing things may often look like it's no match for the battle which is against you, but I guarantee you, you'll come out the winner if you'll do things God's way. How about you're faced with a situation where your spouse is not showing you any love or affection? You may be tempted to withhold affection and love from your spouse. But that will never win your marital problems. It will never win that battle. God's method of resolving marital difficulty is to pour out unconditional love on the other person regardless of the other person's response or their actions. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love does not insist on its own rights or its own way. It's not touchy or resentful. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Love is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Love never fails. That's God's method from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Those attributes of unconditional love are the method you must use if you're going to do things God's way to win your battle. And yet many people may feel like God's prescribed manner of love when they're not being loved or if they're being treated harshly or mistreated, that it would result in being taken advantage of by people or becoming someone's doormat. But I guarantee you God's unlikely weapon of love, just like David's slingshot, will result in victory rather than defeat in your life. And that applies not just to marriages. That applies to employment situations where your boss may be unreasonable, demanding, unkind, even unfair, pour out unconditional love. Walk in love, as Ephesians 5:2 tells us. God will bring you the victory. Maybe you're in a situation where a believer has wronged you in some way and you feel there's no other recourse than to take them to court. And yet, we are told in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 not to sue a fellow believer, that is not God's way. And yet, you may be very tempted to do that very thing this day. God is encouraging you, do things my way and you'll see the victory that seems so unlikely, just like David saw a most unlikely victory. How about someone who has been taken advantage of in a workplace, should have been promoted, always seems to get the short end of the deal no matter how hard they work? God says to us, whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. Becoming a servant to someone may seem like the opposite of what you need to do. You may feel like you need to stand up for your rights, demand the promotion and the raise that you deserve. And yet God says, if you desire to become great, you desire promotion, you desire progress in your employment, then you become a servant and a good servant. And God will turn things around like he did with David's stone and slingshot. There are two other keys that we find in David's battle against Goliath that brought him that amazing victory. The third key that we can observe here is David's choice to speak by faith and not by sight. David told Goliath a most amazing thing. He said, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will smite you and I will cut off your head." He was not speaking based on what appeared likely to happen in that situation. It looked like David was going to have his young head cut off because the guy with the sword was coming after him. How was he going to take his head off? He didn't even have a sword. If you trust God like David trusted God, David spoke by faith. He trusted God to intervene for him. And if you'll do that, you trust God to intervene for you, then you must choose. Make the decision to speak by faith like David did. You will not have victory without doing this. You need to say what you believe God is going to do rather than say what it seems that you see with your eyes. If you're having marital problems, you need to say with your mouth and say nothing that disagrees with this, "God is going to restore my marriage." If you are having a hard time walking in love towards your in-laws who are so difficult to be around, then you should say by faith, "God is helping me love my in-laws." If you're facing financial disaster, say by faith, "God is turning our financial situation around." If you are facing a terminal illness or some affliction of your body, you need to say by faith, "God is healing my body." Why would I say this to you? I say this because this is the pattern David demonstrated. He did not have any sign in the natural, no appearance that this would really happen. You may have no sign that what you are saying will really come to pass. The only sign is the promise of God to help you become more than a conqueror, more than a conqueror in your situation. But you're going to have to do as David did. Many people, even good Christian people, will only say what they see. And they say, "Oh, it doesn't look like it's getting any better." Whether it's about their marriage, their finances, their physical situation, their children who are away from God, and that's what they say with their mouth. Understand, their faith is defeated right there. Make sure you're speaking words of faith and not defeat about your situation. Say what you believe God is going to do in that matter. The fourth key to victory that we observe in David's battle with Goliath is that David took steps of faith. 1 Samuel 17:48 says, David ran quickly toward the battle line. Those were steps of faith. He had to act like he expected to have the victory in this very unlikely, mismatched battle. You may be in a battle that looks absolutely impossible to win, but if you are going to come out the winner, you must begin to take steps of action that reflect your belief that God is going to bring you the victory. If your marriage looks like it's going to fail, you need to start taking steps of faith and act like you're fully expecting your marriage to survive, and not only survive, to thrive. How would a person in a thriving and happy marriage act? That is how you must act and treat your spouse. Those are your steps of faith. Whatever your particular situation is, ask yourself that same question. How would a person who was victorious in my health, was victorious in finances, was victorious in the workplace act? Would they act like they're defeated? No, they'd act like they're victorious. They would be confident. They would be blessed. They would have joy. They would be givers, blessing other people. Those are your steps of faith. Remember, faith is unwavering, unshakable trust in God and in His Word and His character and in His love for you. Make sure faith is guarding your speech and your actions. God wants you to slay Goliath. That's all the time we have for today. This is Rita Langland encouraging you. God loves you. He'll help you slay Goliath. Do what His Word says and have a victorious week.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-KEY-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.